Hey, Nico.
Hey, Con.
I love you.
I love you.
No homo.
A little bit of homo for me.
Just a little?
Just a smidge. From two guys who were never part of the Boys Club, we want to welcome you to ours.
Welcome to Boys Club.
This is our podcast.
About boys.
And about other things.
Like their clubs.
And the things we were a part of.
Hockey.
And we're not a part of.
Bagels.
Wait, did you say we were a part of hockey?
No, I wasn't.
Me neither. Welcome to the club, boys.
Grab a bagel.
Connor's like, what do boys eat?
My feelings. Okay, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
What's up, Connor? Welcome back.
Thank you for having me. Where's Sam?
I guess we're technically... He's in there. Did you even want to say anything about our Halloween decor? Or you just
oh
were
going to
kind of leave that, you know, whatever? I mean, we do have quite a bit out.
You know what? I noticed it, and I didn't want to make it a thing.
Sure. Okay. And well, I did.
It looks absolutely beautiful.
We have some good pumpkins. No,
where
I
do
always
you store these?
In our little closet.
Well, I love
think it's
it.
Fun. We got our skeletons up here too.
Wait, I'm sorry. I feel stupid. I like love Halloween, and like I'm sleeping on it. I'm sleeping on Halloween.
Do you know what you're gonna be yet? I was actually gonna ask you.
Just like, well, something hot. Oh wait, no, maybe something funny or smart. Something smart. I don't know. What are the options?
Anything you want.
Bananas in pajamas.
Bananas in pajamas.
I don't feel good. I feel not funny today.
Oh, no. What's wrong?
I just don't feel funny.
You don't have to feel funny.
I guess it's like when you don't feel funny, lean into the boys clubs and be factual. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're not going to be funny, just be factual.
Yeah, because when we what this pod succeeds on is facts.
Facts. Just be like, a boys club is this.
Do you have any thoughts on what you'd want to be for Halloween? Do you have a favorite Halloween costume you ever wore?
The problem with this is like you have to have an idea. Okay, so as a child, my favorite Halloween costume, the Cat in the Hat. Is that an option?
Yeah.
One time I was the Cat in the Hat and I like kind of like made it myself except for the hat, which is actually the whole costume. And it was like a makeshift thing. And then in high school, I would every year I would be I would be something kind of slutty. Like in ninth grade, I was like, I want to say a Hollister doorman.
Okay.
And then in 10th grade, I was Ryan from the OC, which is a show I didn't even watch. But he was just like a guy on the OC that wore a hoodie, and I did too.
So what was the vibe at your old boys' high school for Halloween? Did people dress up?
Well, no, we didn't dress up at school. That would have been so chaotic. And
yeah, I'm sure that would have been a lot to like...
That would have been insane. The girls' schools would dress up.
Wow.
And then I would go to a party at one of the girls' houses. Well, ninth grade, I went to a party at this guy who does date women, I think still, which is crazy. Yeah. And we have to keep that. We're keeping that. Like, I'm fine to keep it.
Okay. Yeah.
He did seem gay. You seemed gay. Hey, you seemed gay.
Okay. Yeah. Explore yourself.
And then he went to Loyola, Maryland to study philosophy, and I never heard from him again.
Okay. Well, I hope he explored his sexuality amongst all that.
I know. I think it would be like hard to explore it at Loyola, Maryland, but maybe in the Department of Philosophy, there was more opportunity.
For sure.
Kind of an underground Baltimore scene.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I dressed up. My favorite Halloween costume when I was in fifth grade, I was Elvis. Cause I went on.
I've seen pictures of this.
Yeah, I was obsessed with Elvis for some reason. I had like three Elvis Pez dispensers, I was him for Halloween, and so I had like the wig. And
I think that makes all the people to be obsessed with. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't really know what drew me to him. I'm like, all I can connect is that like my grandfather liked Elvis, and I really liked Lilo and Stitch. They had some Elvis music, so maybe that was kind of where that was coming from. But I don't know.
Well, there's like an intense masculinity, but it's also showy.
Yeah.
At the same time. What a great combination of things.
Halloween was so stressful for me from like seventh grade onwards, so I kind of hated it after a while.
Why?
Well, because by that point I was like, you know, I got to be boys' costumes up until about seventh grade, and then I was like, oh shit, like now people are, you know, doing group costumes, and there's the opportunity to be left out of that.
Oh,
and there's also like, you got to wear like kind of a girl costume, or I had to like come up with something fun. Like I was always grateful that like part of Halloween was like, you could be funny or you could be scary, or there was like other ways out of that. But it felt like there was like a lot of gender stuff related to Halloween.
Of course.
So I was always really stressed about that and like never knew what to be. And I remember especially like in early high school just being like, I wasn't allowed to like go out, so I like wasn't like, and this was like Halloween, I remember there being like people are going.
You couldn't go out at all?
Not really.
My parents, if you were invited to a party.
Well, here's the thing. I was always kind of like, I would get invited to stuff sometimes, but I was often traveling for soccer. I was just away, and so I was like not really involved in like the social scene outside of school that much. But then when I would get invited to stuff, it was kind of like I would hear about it at school or something. And then I was like, because it was like pre-social media, so people weren't like posting to close friends, like having a rager this weekend or whatever. Like, you know, yeah. It was like at school. So then I'd like tell my parents that night I couldn't drive yet. And they're like, we can't take you. So like, I just like didn't get to go. Ugh. And it was like, I just remember feeling so lost. Like I remember sitting with my dad on Halloween night, like bawling because I like didn't get to go to this thing and I didn't know what to wear and I didn't know how to dress. And I was like so anxious about the
whole. How old were you?
13, 14.
And he said what?
I don't think he knew. I mean, we didn't like open up the like conversation about like gender stuff, which is obviously like what I needed at the time. But we did talk about like trying to find ways to like, you know, help me help myself like socialize, like get to go to things and stuff and not have to be like feeling left out.
Oh, see, like remember when Sydney Washington came on this podcast and said that a boys club was clubbing in 2012 because no one had cameras?
Yeah.
And you were in it. That actually is high school.
Yeah.
And then it was like there was less pressure on, like it was like last Friday night, Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Like maybe before that. And it was like there was less pressure on the photog of it all. Mm-hmm. Like it was, you were kind of in the moment.
Yeah. And also like Halloween as a ninth grader was like probably one of the first times you could really go, because like people would basically go to this one massive like planned community basically, and they
planned
would
a development,
like they
the microphone.
Yeah. Connor was so aghast that he said turn the mics off. No, but he
the way you said planned community, drag them. Well, it was like it's so sorry.
I could also call it a gated community. It was a gated community. It was like around, it was like there was a couple golf courses and like the houses were sort of around the golf courses. Like I think there's multiple, like I think there were two different golf courses that you could play. Crazy. Maybe just one. I honestly don't remember. But anyway, because of that, like it was just Halloween, so everybody's out trick-or-treating. So like if you were in high school, you weren't going trick-or-treating, but you were just like, you know, walking around the golf courses at night or walking around the community. You know what I mean? So it was like one of the only times you could be like, we're out without our parents. And I just like wanted so bad to go and I couldn't.
You know, I always think that like if I could give anyone advice who's younger, it's if you're in high school, be a loser. Be a fucking loser.
I would say like find people who you really like to hang out with and don't like chase what you think is who you should be around.
And be a loser. I feel like the people that were losers are like really cool now.
I just wish I could have been more self-actualized in high school. You know what I mean? Like I wish I could have leaned in and been more myself and just like, but you know, I wasn't ready. It's okay.
I was pretty preoccupied.
Yeah, me too.
This podcast is out to people that were really busy in high school.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been asking the kids that I'm coaching like what they're going to be for Halloween.
Crazy that you were so busy with soccer. It's like I wasn't going to get into college with an eating disorder. I was like, here's the eating disorder scholarship.
Yeah, at least I was working towards something with a future plan.
I know. Oh my God. Just burning bridges. My stress was that I was supposed to be a theater kid, but the theater kids didn't really like me.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why. Let's go through all the possible reasons. I think I have a couple of possibilities.
Okay, off the top of your head.
They're annoying. And like,
and you're not.
I am annoying, but they're like,
yeah, no,
like
totally.
Ethel Merman and a man. But then most of them were straight. Like, it wasn't very gay, but there was like this idea that the theater kids were gay. And I think that they were really scared of that. So I wonder if like me, who was like this like gay model comes and they're like, oh, we're scared that if we
associate,
like, we're going to be gay. And it's like,
yeah,
I'm still the coolest bitch here.
Right. And you were also like in with the cool girls. Were they mad about that?
I was in with the cool girls. I was in with the hot girls. Yes. Like yes, for sure. Like I definitely like would start a musical and be like, I'm going to become friends with that hot girl that drives a Jeep Wrangler while she eats yogurt every day. Like at the wheel. Kelly Moyer recently got married. Shout out. She's well.
Okay.
I'm out here. I'm Googling. I'm liking. I'm looking up LinkedIn. I'm like tracking married names.
Yeah, you can't change your name without him knowing. Okay, wait. I have two boys clubs I want to talk about today.
I thought we were going to talk about high school the entire time.
Well, we'll get back to high school eventually. Okay. But I want to bring up I went to a Remy Wolf concert last night.
Did she play Thay?
It.
Did they play Cake?
She.
Did she play Cake?
Connor wants everybody to abandon the gender binary. Okay. She did not play Cake, but
what? How many songs does she have?
So many.
Cake is such a good song. I don't know why no one likes it except for me.
I was the one who showed it to you, so I like it
too. It's like an emotional 10.
Yeah. But okay, so she was an incredible performer. It was one of my favorite concerts I've seen. It was so good. It was at the King's Theater in Flatbush, which is a beautiful theater. That was originally apparently for movies. for like they would show like
interesting
basically movie concerts where like there because it's a massive theater, but then
you
they
had
would
a
go,
seat, a physical seat.
Yeah, there was a pit down the back, but we were sitting in the back, so we were in seats, which was honestly really
that's
nice.
Very cool, like kind of like old Holly, like old timey.
Yeah, I'll show you a picture. It was beautiful, but anyway, she is an incredible singer. Like just has like insane. Like I just like can't imagine. Like I like just talking for an hour can be so. Like draining,
exhausting,
and like and on your voice too. But like I'm like, how is she belting song after song after song? And she was so funny. She played "Life Is a Highway" halfway through, just cause.
That's really funny.
And it started out with like a vroom vroom, and we were all kind of like, oh, it's probably gonna be "Motorcycle," which is a song off her new album. And then she started playing "Life Is a Highway."
Is she American?
Yes, and she goes. So that last song was from my favorite movie, Cars. Like, she had so many funny little things to say. And it, during Life is a Highway, they brought out a pride flag and they were waving it. And then they brought out the bisexual flag and were waving it. And I was like,
that's incredible.
I don't know if it's earnest or a bit, but I'm either way, I'm really enjoying this.
I found
this.
A video of Tate McRae holding the bisexual flag.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
I don't know. The bisexuals are really coming out for
Isn't
their
it
week.
Pink and blue?
It's pink, blue. Well, it's a darker pink and blue, and there's no white on it, so.
Kind
it's
of disrespectful to get so
flag.
Close.
Yeah.
And to also have rights.
And for it to be uglier, I'll say that.
It's
I
weird.
I like the baby blue and the baby pink on the trans flag. I think it's pretty.
I think my dad has said that he thinks the trans flag is really pretty.
It's the prettiest
it's
one.
It's kind of like, maybe hang that.
Yeah. I know. It was just funny. I just feel like this week, I guess it's Bisexual Awareness Week. I also got a
week.
Or something. I sent you that Instagram account that followed me that was like all about bisexual awareness.
Bisexual visibility.
Bisexual visibility. And it was like for bisexual people in straight presenting relationships.
That part's important. Say it again.
Bisexual people in straight presenting relationships.
In straight presenting relationships.
I know. It's just
so
like.
Are you in a straight presenting relationship?
Yeah, I am. But it's also like.
You should follow that page.
I know. I think maybe.
Now that then they'd have 95,000.
Maybe
people.
That's why they came to me because they thought I was one of them. But it's like. I don't know. It's just like. Like, we talk. You've talked about this. We've talked about this. About how, like, bisexuality, obviously, it's real. Nobody's here to deny that. It's a real thing. Gender's a spectrum. Most people are bisexual. And I think that's where the narrative gets lost. Is that, like. I think a lot of people are bisexual, and I don't think it's that. I don't think it needs that much awareness.
My joke feels important that yes. didn't go viral.
Say it if you want.
Buy erasure. I'm not going to say the joke, but the point of it is. The point of it is that I always thought bi erasure was when you act like being bi is fake and
yeah.
that they're lying. But I've recently realized that it's like when you act like they don't. Like I never understood that.
Yeah.
No, I always thought, no, that's not what it is. I always thought, I don't know what I thought bi erasure was, but I was worried about it. And then it was like, oh, it's just when you act like it's not real. And it's like, no, I do know that it's real. I just don't believe that it's hard.
Yeah.
I just think it sounds pretty chill.
That's how I feel too. It's like, and this, we're not coming for any of our bi listeners. We hope you are thriving in your bisexuality and date whoever you want within your bisexuality. And obviously there are still people who are very like, you know, pick a lane. If you do anything gay, you're just gay. And it's like, you know, if gay didn't feel like a something that was wrong or bad, people might not rail against the idea that, like, you know, doing anything gay just put you kind of then you're not straight anymore.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
I feel like bi people, it's like you were cool in high school. You don't need this. Get out. You don't need this. And I'm gay on paper all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't think they're checking bi at the doctor's office.
No.
Like, that's not happening.
And like, yeah, and again, shout out to our bisexual listeners. We love you guys. But it's just, yeah, it was just funny to me. I feel like there's been a lot of bisexual stuff.
I am curious and aware that like we are in like a really queer pocket.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, New York, America.
Yeah.
Like it's very queer over mm-hmm. here. It's too queer. And I do wonder, would our conversation around bi, I don't know the answer, would bi, what's the vibe on bi people kind of. In like Philadelphia, I guess it's queer there too, or like Austin, also queer there. Like, give me a place where it's kind of
Arkansas.
Like, yes, like what are bi people really fighting for rights?
Right.
There?
See, that's where I feel like we probably and you're. It's a great point. People in Arkansas, and shout out any of our Arkansas listeners. Like they have bigger fish to fry.
Completely.
It's like your bisexuality is like it's probably more of like a, oh, your family and friends don't believe you, and that is bi erasure, and that's a problem within your life, and that's something
yeah.
that like you should be actively trying to undo in your circles. But like You're probably also coming into
the
question.
The biased girl in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Okay, movie.
Okay, movie. The most bisexual. But, like, if you're bi and you're dating a man in Arkansas, you're much safer than you are if you're bi and dating a woman in Arkansas. If you're a woman, I'm saying. Yeah. You know, so, like, I'm, again, I don't know.
I also think that there's something with queerness. There's a certain juxtaposition to it that feels relevant. Mm-hmm. And it's just here, they're just not relatively that queer. Like, is that okay to say?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
we've got non-binary people, we've got trans people, we've got gay people who with crazy voices, like, yeah. Me, I'm talking about me.
And it's, I think that's where my frustration comes from. It's like, on the levels of things that we as the queer community need to be fighting for and protecting and stuff, it's just like, whether or not bisexuals are feeling like they are getting enough attention is, like, just not on my radar.
What do they want from us?
I don't know.
Maybe they don't want anything, and we've just, like, built this narrative that they want something, and, well, like, maybe they don't. I mean, but that page suggests that they do.
I mean, 90,000 of them apparently are feeling inspired enough to follow a page that helps them to be... Because what struck me about it, it was, like, it feels like it was, like, a lot of infographics that were, like, things that people are saying about bisexuals or things people don't know about bisexuals, and it's, like... Do 90,000 people feel so strongly that they're following so they can repost these infographics? It just felt like a lot.
What's gay guy visibility?
You're looking at it.
This podcast.
I mean, gay guys are pretty visible, it feels.
I do think that it feels that we are... Wait, I agree with that. With that being said, ultimately... Oh, maybe I shouldn't get into this, but I don't care. Like, I'm the first person to be like, gay guys are bad. I'm like number one.
You're the first person ever?
Like the first person around. Like, I'm the most reactive person to be like, gay guys are bad.
Well, I mean, I think there's a long history of people saying gay guys are bad.
I feel like
for different reasons you're saying.
I have a certain self-awareness of the comunidad. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Bowen on SNL, people were like coming for him because they were like, you're making fun of Chapel Roan.
Oh my God. It's like, can you get some fucking media literacy?
And then the discourse really quickly turned to gay guys hate women.
Oh,
and it
Christ.
Was like, actually, I have jokes like that, but it feels different when, like, I get that these are queer people, but like are just like on Twitter saying like another gay guy, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, actually, that is a non-white gay man on a primetime television show who is the only gay man on that television show and has been for literally years.
Yeah.
And to be so reductive,
yeah,
feels crazy.
And also, obviously, it was a satire as the little hippo meme and being like talking about fame in general and he was coming to Chapel's defense.
Yeah, it was, and like also really a lot.
He literally interviewed her. They have a relationship, like, through that, at least.
Yeah.
He also, where they literally talked about the similarities in their career trajectories of becoming sort of an overnight success.
Yeah.
Or an overnight famous person, I should say. And, like, how are people so stupid that they don't see that, like, he clearly feels for her?
Yeah, there was something where the discourse turned so quickly to another gay guy, blah, 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 hate women. It's always a gay guy. It's always a gay guy. And it's like, okay, I thought I agreed with that, but now it doesn't feel right anymore.
No, no, no.
It doesn't feel good. And like, gay guys, we are, like, we're in New York. It's great to be a gay guy.
No, the internet is full of brain rot.
Ugh.
It's full of brain rot. It's just people with rotted brains saying.
Not you guys.
And no, of course not you guys, but it's just so many people just saying shit to say shit. Like, it's like, I think they should take comments away.
Oh, like you have an idea, but no one can comment on it?
I mean, I think if you want
to... Oh, on Instagram.
Everywhere. I just, like, I don't know.
They're adding more comments. Now you can comment on stories.
I know. They're just
comment. What does that even look like? They got rid of that. Like,
I don't
maybe
know.
That's not a thing anymore.
I'll try to comment on yours. We'll see. We'll do an experiment.
I think it's public if you do.
So. But it's just like... I don't know. It's just so... I find it really annoying. I was just talking about this with Maddie. I think that, like, if I post something online or you post something online, we're putting ourselves out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that process, you're putting yourself out to any number of, like, responses. I don't think it's cool that people who can make an anonymous account and say whatever the fuck they want without any repercussions, because my repercussions for putting something out is receiving that hate.
Uh-huh.
And their repercussions are nothing.
Totally.
And they don't even have to put their face behind that. They don't have to put anything behind that. And, like, you know, obviously the ability... What sucks is I think that there's this thinking that it's like, oh, but you're going to go on to be... Like, you have a following and you are going on to do this... like, you might go on to have a career and you might go on to, like, reap all these rewards that, like, you know, whatever. And it's like, yes, that is true. But we're also living in a world where, like, so many people are online and so many people have platforms that, like, not everybody is going to see, like, these, like, it's not, like, the same as, like, oh, but you're Miley Cyrus and you have a bazillion dollars and, like, you'll never have to engage with these people or, like, whatever. Whereas, like, people who have, like, small internet presences have to, like, engage with the comments in order to, like, push their stuff. Like, we're in this weird thing where it's
being,
like,
a comedian, one of the worst.
Things you could do to yourself.
Yeah. Because, like, like, in terms of...
Yeah.
In terms of, like, taking a break from it and, like, needing whatever, it does feel like... Because I think that happened, like, a year ago where he, like, stepped back.
Yeah.
Big comedian stepped back. Because there's something about this, and I think... I mean, Chappell is a singer and has been experiencing this, but where it's, like, you are so out there and you're so yourself and you are so subjected to what everyone thinks of you and you are so being perceived at all times and people are so willing to tell you how they're perceiving you and you have to keep being it, and it's a lot. Today at Solid Core, literally someone asked for a picture after class and I was like, no. I took a picture with my shirt over my face because it's like, I don't want to be in a picture right now. Like, I don't want to be perceived right now. Yeah. It's like a lot. You're just always be like, I'm happy. I gave you the best class of your life. I'm being so nice to you right now. Yeah. I don't need to live on the internet with you.
It's also kind of a weird part of your job that that's even like a possibility.
Yeah. And it wasn't. I literally took a picture and I said, you know, Blue Man Group. And I put this shirt over my face.
Welcome to the fourth Blue Man.
It's like, I have a weird relationship with my face. Yeah. I don't need to be. I really do. You know that. I like, don't need to be in this.
That's so funny.
I'm not going to be at the will of someone else's weird camera and their thumb. No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, I think there's just this weird, we're just in this weird time where that's like, because if I think about it, even, obviously celebrity has always been a thing.
Yeah.
Since the beginning of time, we've had celebrity. And like, celebrity has changed over the years because of the way that, like, media has changed and the way that, like, the internet has changed it. And it feels like if you were famous, like, let's say you're somebody like, obviously there's Marilyn Monroe's maybe a bad example because she was harassed in a number of different ways. And obviously that's also horrible. But, like, somebody like her, you know, aside from, and not to diminish, but if we're just going to talk not about like any of like the sort of like harsher, horrible things that were happening to women at the time, if we're just going to think about the way that the press interacts with her, they were probably saying some horrible things and some really sexist things and things like that. But like, at least she could have been like, oh, this is the opinion of three writers, three dudes at the New York Times, the New York this, the Washington Post. Not every fucking person who could ever make an account. What do they want to say about you?
I think that about backlash, like things like at all. Mm-hmm. What is backlash anymore? Because there was some article that was like, so-and-so got backlash for XYZ. And then in the article, random comments were cited. I forget literally what this was, but you're right. Mm-hmm. Random people, their opinions are now backlash.
Right.
And it's like, no, this man does not, without a face, does not get, like, that's not a thing.
Yeah, you don't get to be backlash unless you are, like, willing to, like, because it's like, how do you get to be backlash anonymously and I get to be front lash?
Right. And it feels like, because, like, there's already, like, the media that does exist is already one that, like, makes money and thrives on drama.
Yeah.
And then so it's, like, they're bad.
Yeah.
Combined.
And they have a vested interest in continuing to this cycle because it gives them more news and it does less work for them because then people can uncover these things and have these opinions. And then they can just be like, oh, this is a general opinion. This isn't my opinion. This is just a general opinion that I'm citing. It's just like, yeah, anyway.
Oh my God.
Sorry to derail on that.
There's something about comedy where it's like you always want to go viral, but at the same time, what if you just wanted to share who you are with the people that already follow you?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Because sometimes people will like post something and I'll just be like, what's going on here? And it's like, oh, like they're kind of just sharing who they are with the people that already engage with them. And like, I think we should embrace that.
Yeah.
I should be like, hey guys, like I'm making a matcha. And like, you're not trying to grow. You're not trying to build your people.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, I'm good with the ones that are here and some people can leave.
I would feel really awesome if I could just consistently reach the people that follow me.
Yeah.
Because I saw David Blake. No. Who's a singer? Something Blake.
Blake Shelton?
No, last name is Blake.
James Blake follows you?
No, he was posting about on Instagram, posting like basically like just being like, what the fuck is going on with this algorithm? There's all this algorithm like bottlenecking basically happening where there's just like basically too much online. And so he's like, what is the point of having this? Like, all of these companies get to profit off the fact that they get my data from who follows me and like who I follow.
No idea. He was such a thought leader.
Apparently. Yeah. And he was like, what is the point of using these platforms if we can't reach our people? How am I supposed to sell tickets if I post my dates on my Instagram and only like 3,000 people are seeing my story when 200,000 people follow me? Like, that is not how it should work. Like, what the hell? Like, why do they get to use us and we don't get to properly use them?
Yes.
And that's how I feel about those companies too. It's really frustrating that
what determines if it's going to get shown to everybody or only a small percentage?
I don't know.
Is it like if people keep engaging with it, then they're going to keep seeing you? Is that the kind of thing? Like, I mean, they're selecting in?
All I can say, and sorry to the boys at home, but this is so boring. All I can say from my own experience with like anecdotally, like the times where I've had a video, like got like a reel going off pretty well, my story views are the higher they've ever been. But I think it's like they want you to basically, like, they're kind of incentivizing you to keep posting so that you're like, you can, that's all it is. They just want you to keep going. It's people who post more get more attention, I think, which is bullshit.
This is actually related to my next thing.
Great.
So my boys club is Olivia Newsy. And Olivia Newsy is, I'm going to get it all wrong. And I actually want to preface this conversation by saying we support all women, including Olivia Newsy. And it's not a crime to be annoying.
This is a podcast where we support women 99 times out of 10.
99 times. And honestly, like, and which brings me to my next point, because you know who is involved in this story is
our one and only Cheryl Hines, who we have tried to defend many times on this podcast.
And we are known because we actually have kind of written, no, conceptualized, yes, a trilogy.
A trilogy. Connor and Nico are saving Cheryl Hines. Connor and Nico are running from Cheryl Hines. And Connor and Nico are...
I couldn't remember the third one either.
What was the third one? It was...
Forgiving?
Forgiving.
Redeeming?
Redeeming Cheryl
Finding
Hines.
The way to heaven with... Welcoming Cheryl Hines into heaven.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and the thing is with the first one, like it's called Saving Cheryl Hines because it had never even occurred to these two characters, not us, but these characters mm-hmm. that we've conceptualized but not written, that she would be bad.
Of course.
We're like, there's no way she's bad. But
right,
then
it must be the man.
Yes. And then it's a coming of age journey because the two characters realize in the movie that women can be bad. And Cheryl Hines is actually included in that list of bad women. And that's kind of like them, a loss of innocence mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. they realize that.
And then the second one, it becomes kind of a thriller slasher when she is chasing them around.
She's chasing, she listened to the podcast and she's mad.
She's mad.
She's pissed. And then the third one, we are... It's part because it's like the thing with the third one's like we have to do it because there's not a name for two movies.
Right.
It's just a trilogy.
It's just a trilogy.
And it's like we got the deal.
I guess
so
sequel.
It's kind of like we have an advance and now we just simply have to.
Yeah, they gave us $45 million to make this.
Every day you wake up, it's just like pretend you have an advance and just keep going. Just keep going. Keep going. Wells Fargo emailed me today and they're like, you can get a $35,000 loan. I could call that my advance and then hope for the best.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know what I would do with that. Oh, I do probably know. Okay. Anyway. Soph just texted me.
Olivia Newsy.
Soph literally just texted me. Jesus, Soph. You know what she said? How are you healing your chi? Is chi spelled with a Q?
Well, it is now. Did she say Q-I?
Yes.
Wow, that's like, I think that's the original spelling.
She's so smart. She's so smart. Okay, so Olivia Newsy. I've like just had a mental breakdown where I just like stopped remembering what I was saying. Oh yeah, Olivia Newsy. But not in a bad way. Like I feel great. Like I'm worried for you. Are you good?
Yes, I'm good.
And if you're like, if you don't like what's happening right now, there's a lot of solo podcasts that you could listen to. I listened to one today. It's called Date Yourself Instead.
I like that you're still doing that one.
Yeah. These people,
deep dive.
They've never gotten a drink of water. They've never run out of breath. They've never taken a pause.
Wow.
They just start to finish. They just go. They filibuster. Like,
yeah. If we need new filibusters, find the solo podcasters.
It's Lise Boss. You want to find Lise Boss? She gets her heart broken quite a lot for someone whose job is to give us life advice. Yeah.
Well, honestly, you know, sometimes you got to learn from people who are failing.
And she's really old, 31. And
wow.
So it's like, she's really hot though. And it is a video podcast.
Nice.
It's funny because like every episode is like, fuck everyone and don't be a placeholder and this. And then one episode is like, I did get rhinoplasty. It's like the whole episode is about her rhinoplasty.
How many listeners does this have?
Bro, it has like so many. Like she has over 1 million followers.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Are we doing the wrong thing?
I guess we should be. Sorry. Now we're going to have two different solo podcasts.
Should we do that? Wait, oh my God.
The last thing I want to do is solo podcasts.
Are the makings of the parts greater than the sum of the whole?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so what were you saying about Olivia Newsy?
So Olivia Newsy, I know that you don't know who Olivia Newsy is, but I've known who Olivia Newsy is for a very long time because 10 years ago I worked on a presidential campaign, actually 9, and
yep.
Olivia Newsy was just starting out, and she was like kind of like, I just remember that the women that worked in press there hated Olivia Newsy, but I didn't have an opinion on her.
And what is her job?
She was a reporter. She was very new then, maybe worked at like the Daily
Newsy.
Caller or something. Wow. She's a newsy. Yeah, newsy for the news. Newsy, newsy. And like definitely just a gal. And so she's always kind of been top of mind, kind of like been a bit of a rabble rouser.
Sure.
And now she works at New York Mag, where I feel like that is kind of where you can be like a rabble rouser. Also, it's important to remember that we don't know the truth or facts. And even things that like are out there, we actually really don't know those either. Like we're not.
The only truth we know is the truth of ourselves. And even that we don't know.
We haven't read a single article about it. We've only seen headlines and tweets.
And Connor did a deep dive on Instagram, which is...
I did do a deep dive on Instagram, and I
the truth.
And I have a source who lives in DC that kind of explained things to me, but I can't say who it is.
Okay, great.
Who like feels, so I'm going to actually read his text messages. So this, their text messages. So this person who, I started a whole group chat about
I
it.
I love that you flip between using non-binary pronouns as kind of a catch-all to be safe and also to be discreet.
See, maybe non-binary people just don't want people knowing their business. I'm sorry, that was non-binary. That was non-binary erasure.
See, bi people take a page.
That was the worst thing I've ever said on this, other than that thing about the Sri Lankan tsunami. Okay, so Olivia, this is going to be a quick explanation. Buckle in. Do you want to say anything before I go?
No, I'm ready.
You can interject at any time. So Olivia is the Washington correspondent for New York Mag, and Ryan Leza, her ex-fiance,
mm-hmm.
is the chief Washington correspondent at Politico. Leza
okay,
left.
So they were a couple in the industry.
Yes.
Okay.
They were. Leza, and this is, I sent you a picture of them. Leza left his wife and children for Newsy, 20 years his junior, editorialization from my source, and they were engaged.
Wow.
Newsy did a profile of RFK Jr. that his campaign, if you can call it that, also editorializing.
Wow. If you can call it that.
I didn't catch that.
The campaign? Or, yes. Okay, wow.
Actually, what's funny is that it's kind of like a double joke.
Yeah.
It's like a double joke. It's like when Taylor Swift says, in happiness, you haven't met the new me yet. She means how who I'm going to be, but also the who the next woman that you're going to date.
Wow. Yeah. A double entendre.
Oh. Do you know what that is?
Yes, I know.
Gonna have you write it down for me later. Explain it to me. Newsy did a profile of RFK Jr. that his campaign, if you can call it that, I just want to read it again because it's interesting.
Yeah.
Says was a hit piece. M dash. But apparently, after they started having a sexting type relationship, which some people say got leaked because RFK Jr. was bragging about having nudes of Newsy. Who wants nudes of a 70-year-old man? I kind of get it actually. The day after this broke, Leza. Okay, I know. Yeah, honestly, I know. I know, even Jimmy Carter would take his nudes. He's such a powerful man.
100.
The day after this broke, Leza put a disclaimer at the top of Playbook, which is a political newsletter mm-hmm. that he writes, that Playbook would not be doing any reporting on this in RFK because of their relationship with his ex-fiance. Now, this was the first time it broke to anyone that they were no longer together. And the full read at the time was that they had broken up because this news broke. But now, Newsy is alleging that Leza blackmailed her and released all this. That's the fiance.
Whoa.
To get back at her, so now people don't know when they broke up.
Dang.
And then, also, he says, what no one is talking about is how Newsy looks exactly like Ellie Goulding, but less rich and more American.
Also editorialized.
That part's been just an editorialization, but it's good for Ellie Goulding to be back in the conversation.
It's nice to just give her,
I love Ellie Goulding.
A little something. Okay, wait. So what's striking me here is that all these journalists and somehow we can't find the truth.
Oh, my God. See, that's beautiful. There's something beautiful about that. That's actually kind of like Lise Boss being single and just like writing this podcast. Because it's, here's the thing with Date Yourself Instead. Like, it's Date Yourself Instead so you can
date
a lover.
Eventually.
It's definitely like Fix You.
It's like the dating app that's meant to be deleted. It's kind of like where there's many folds to this story.
It's not Date Yourself Instead because you're better off alone anyway. It's Date Yourself Instead because, my God,
right.
If you don't find someone, this is hot.
If you don't date yourself, who will? It's kind of that.
Literally.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's this one thing she says where it's like, work so hard on yourself that you become, like, your ex no longer is your type.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, you've got to listen to this.
Okay. Well, I mean,
She talks about divine timing. I love that.
Divine timing.
Divine timing.
So what are her credentials?
She has 1.4 million followers.
Okay.
And is hot. And has dated a lot of guys.
All right. Well, I guess that'll go ahead and be pathos, ethos, whatever.
I found more information about her on Reddit, but it was really long and I didn't finish it.
Reddit's crazy.
Reddit knows the truth, usually.
I mean, we recently know of somebody who sort of got themselves into some hot water on Reddit. I won't say more, but...
Do I?
Yeah. Remember he made the fake Reddit account? Yeah.
I was like, it was me. Well, if I got myself, because I was going to get into hot water too, because I got into SoulCycle Reddit. It's like, get out of here.
Yeah.
I was like coming for people because they were mad that someone didn't write them a birthday card. And I was like, so you're coming for a minimum wage paid worker because your friend, their birthday was not going to be good if they didn't get a birthday card. It seems like they have you in your life. They needed this card that bad.
Yeah.
And then I got so many likes on that the person took their post down.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for
I'll
you.
Always come for the working people.
I got somebody to delete their comment the other day too. On my post.
With that thing where you're nice to people?
Yes.
Wait, that's kind of bad because like I want them to see...
Killing with kindness.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter.
So when you get... we should talk about this. When you get hate on the internet, you kill them with kindness.
I kill them with kindness. Well,
you say, sounds like someone's having a bad day.
Well, first, usually my little one I'll do is if they're... Because here's my take on it is that I don't really give a fuck. I think people are just saying things to get a rise and that's fine. But when it goes as far as like it's incredibly... hateful and like it's not something I would want other trans people to like come to my page and have to see either. I sometimes will delete those, but other ones that are just like if like I'll usually just be like, thanks for watching, have a great day, like just to like kind of be like fuck you. But there was one who did, this guy just kept saying stuff. He kept saying stuff and it was just like, this guy is clear, like he's on a rampage right now. He's responding to everybody's comments, he's commenting his own stuff, just like saying just like your classic like this is a woman like dumb stuff. And so I said, it sounds like this guy's having a horrible day. Can we throw him some love in the comments, folks? And just like...
And then he deleted it?
He didn't delete that one, but I don't think. But then he responded to me and he DM'd me and was like, I'm sorry, I was just joshing with you. Like, I'm just messing around. I just like to roast people or something. And I'm like, it's not roasting when you're being transphobic. Like,
did you say that?
No, I didn't respond to him. I'm like, I'm not going to give you more time of day because that's what you wanted initially, is like, clearly you need attention. And I gave you a little bit, but I'm not going to keep doing this with you because you I'm not rewarding bad behavior.
Yeah.
You know,
no, completely.
No, somebody else, a queer person, told me my haircut looked bad. And I was like, that's not nice at all.
That's really rude.
But they were just like overly familiar with the way they were like, yo, my dude, my guy, you got to get a new haircut. And I was like, we don't know each other. And that was really rude. And then they deleted their
comment.
Also,
like, I disagree.
Thank you.
What does their hair look like?
Not good. Let me
you know that they're some garden gnome.
Exactly. No, it was like, get out of here with that queer ass haircut that you've got going on too. Like,
that's
it's like,
really
excuse
up.
Me. It's actually within all queer people's rights to have bad hair. Okay. So you don't come for hair.
I know. I'm like going between my hair because like the way it is right now, someone said it looked too preppy, but then the way it was before, someone said made my nose and jaw look not, it wasn't flattering to them.
Who is telling you this?
Well, one was an injector that comes just to my work that I'm like, love.
You can't.
And then one was a woman that works in media.
I think you should be the only person who decides.
We should get a panel of gay guys to come on and tell us what they think of the way we look.
I don't think we should do that at all.
How do we cut that? The one that we cut is not a name. We cut that. Wait, redact. That was a joke. I did mean it, but it was a joke.
That was a negative internal thought.
That was a yes. Yeah. That's the thing with the podcast. It's like, are... gonna say negative internal thoughts because we're not filtering this. Like, we're not editing it, we're not filtering it. It's kind of like first thing that comes to mind. That's what a conversation is.
Yeah. Okay, wait, I have some more things to say about Remy Wolf.
Go. Oh, I didn't mean it bad. Wait, you looked at me so mean. That was so mean. You looked at me with no love.
You just said go. Okay, wait, no. So okay,
wait,
so
that's because I have gay boys. Wait, that's because every time I say it's like sassy.
No. It's all good. I was just playing with you. Okay. This is something I noticed yesterday at the concert. Boy screams versus girl screams. And of course, I don't mean those literally. I mean, like, if we're to talk a masculine and a feminine scream. Okay, because generally speaking, when women scream, it sounds great. Like, at a concert, they're like, ah! You know, like, top of their lungs, it's great. But I'm back there being like, yeah, woo! Like, I just, like, it's because my voice is too low now. Shout out to testosterone. How do you scream at a concert?
Nico, I don't scream.
You don't scream. Yeah,
I'm not screaming.
Yeah. But you know, you never cheer?
No, I think I watch
you don't
a concert
get rowdy?
At like Christmas lights.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, so sweet.
That's interesting. Okay, good. Because you're not somebody like clapping and getting rowdy.
No,
okay.
No. I'm not really rowdy anymore.
Yeah, I know that. I know. That's true. But okay, so like I was just like.
You don't have to be rowdy. The mask you live in.
But I wanted to give her good energy because she was giving us such good energy.
That makes sense.
So,
that's nice.
But I was like clapping along and everything. But I was just like, I was standing between Maddie and my sister, Sov, and it, like they're screaming like girls, which is good. And I'm like, that's the kind of scream you should scream at a concert. And I have to be like, yeah, like around all the, I don't know. I just was like really feeling myself.
Yeah,
like,
brother.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Like, that's funny.
Okay, so there was that.
I can't, well, if you want to hear a male scream, you can go and look at Bridget Foley's story when Nicole Scherzinger comes to bow in Sunset Boulevard at the end and you hear Michael Aber screaming.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
Wow, wow, wow.
We're keeping this. Yeah. Michael, you sounded great.
Okay. There was a lesbian couple near us who was going hard. Okay. They were making out. They were grinding on each other. And I love that type of lesbian couple specifically that's just like so obsessed with each other. It's always like really fun to see.
It's going
to
end good, right?
No, that's going to be an explosive breakup.
Oh, man.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like similar to Queer Ultimatum when they would just have like hot and heavy.
Where's that?
I know. Bring it back. Mm. But, you know, when they just have these like hot and heavy off the bat and then you're like, this is going to explode into a bazillion pieces.
I'm trying to think what the gay version of that is.
I know, it's interesting because it feels like gay men have more like casual sex and more like hookups and like random like dates, whereas queer women have like less of that generally, but more like quickly will have like longer term relationships. Obviously, those are sort of stereotypes, but I think they're also sort of, there's a lot of truth to them. But like, I feel like what?
Nothing.
But I feel like lesbians in general, like it's very common, especially to have, when you're young, to have these like hot and heavy off the bat, like really intense, really fast, explosive relationships.
I love like a lesbian. I love like a lesbian and I'm being punished for it.
That's the name of your solo podcast. I love like a lesbian and I'm being punished for it with Connor.
I love like a lesbian. You turn around, you're like a guy, a gay guy.
I love like a lesbian and it's you. Straight to camera solo pod.
it's true. It's like, it's such a cry to be such a romantic. I think the problem is that my dad is so good to me that I'm just like not in a rush to replace. Like, I feel like if I had a worse dad, and here's the thing, I don't know if this makes sense. This might be like weird and like, I don't know. You can diagnose maybe you want. I personally believe that if I had a worse father, I would be in love faster because I feel like there would be a hole to fill. Whereas like right now it's like, I got my man. He's a 60-year-old man with a drone camera.
Sure.
And he answers my texts and he answers my calls, or at least calls back. And we chat every day. And it's like, whereas like if I was more like, oh, then to be like, okay, I just need love.
You feel like you have a place to receive validation and love from? From your dad.
That's such an interesting way to say that. Yes.
And so then you don't need to seek that out romantically.
Yeah.
Even though that romantic connection would be different than the one with your father. And you're not, and it's not limited. Like, you wouldn't lose the connection with your dad if you had a romantic partner.
I wouldn't lose that connection, and we're not cutting this.
This is the first episode of How to Love Like a Lesbian Boys Club.
It's funny. It's kind of like a cross, like a spinoff.
It's really. A spinoff. That could be our Patreon. How to love like a lesbian.
How to love like a lesbian.
From two guys who know.
We get a cease and desist from Lesbian HQ. They're like, you aren't qualified.
No, the TERFs would be absolutely pissed at
really
us.
Really bad. Yeah.
But I think we would have a lot of Boys Club listeners who like it.
But I do think that when I have been in relationships, I call my dad less. He said that. Well, I asked and he said, yeah, that's true.
Does he complain?
Did I call him less? No. No. I think he's... I always say to myself, try not to call him for 3 days so to make him miss you, play games with him.
Why are you playing games with your father?
I want him to be excited when I call. I want him to be surprised.
I'm sure he is.
Sometimes you can kind of tell his voice is either nice or resolved. So he's like, hey, Con. And other times, like, hi, Con. And it's like he's answering because he has a son and he did this and he didn't wear the rubber and now I'm alive. And it's like, you did this. You've like, it's so crazy because for a man who's so emotionally constant to create such emotional turmoil and such fireworks.
I don't think he knew that was going to happen, though. He didn't know three gay sons were on the way.
I know. There's no way to know.
There's no way to know.
Ugh. That's the risk you take when you have a baby.
Then we can make a podcast called How to Parent Like You Have Three Gay Sons.
Yes, I know. I think about that all the time. Like, it's, yeah. And you know what I say. It's like, it's not that we have three gay sons. It's that you have three sons who came out of the closet.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
You know what? There's a lot of people out there who have no gay sons because their kids can't say what they feel.
True.
Their kids can't love.
True. All eight straight kids, I'm sure.
John
I'm
and
sure.
Kate plus eight.
Wait, okay. I think that you have something like a reverse daddy issues.
Okay.
Whereas some...
Reverse call her daddy. Call her reverse daddy.
Because it's like... you were saying, it's like, I think people who have more like, had like maybe a less present father, just have a more strained relationship with their father, might be seeking male validation in other ways. And I don't think you have a, I think you do seek male validation. We all do. But because you have that strong father figure in your life who you're very close with.
Yeah.
You've kind of outsourced, you've outsourced it all to him.
Yes. I wrote him a poem yesterday and I'll read it to you now. I wrote him a poem and it said, this is a first draft, by the way.
Okay.
My father sailed out to sea, but he would not take me, an oar in each hand, left me as planned. I cling to his love no more graspable than sand. What's that on the shore? A lone oar? My father out of sight. What happened at sea that night? My father, no more.
Whoa.
And then in the second draft, it's going to be that he didn't take me because he loved me and he knew something bad would happen.
Now, what did he say back to that?
Love you so much.
He's submitting it to a poetry contest.
It's just
nice.
I
love the image of his love not being like sand, but...
It's hard. It's sometimes you just like, you know, with an open mic, it's like, I just got to go get feedback right now. Like, I can say things to people. Mm-hmm. If that's kind of my dad, you can send him anything.
And he will give you, love you too.
You can send him stuff if you want.
I'm going to start. Okay. I'm going to talk. Now, this is my broader boys club for this week.
Deal.
What time are we at anyway? Okay, great. We about have 15 minutes left. Okay. Football.
Oh.
It's football season, so I thought we would... And we've never... I feel like we've talked about a lot of more specific boys clubs, but I think some of these bigger ones we've, like, kind of not talked about.
We're falling asleep at the wheel.
We've been falling asleep at the wheel, it turns out. But, yes. I've been watching football's back. And I was just thinking a lot about it the other night, just, like, thinking about football in general. And I was curious about your relationship with it, too. Because, obviously, football is one of the most dominant American cultural things. Mm-hmm. It's, like... the American sport other than baseball. It's like the thing we created. It's also interestingly something they don't really play other places, but I don't know if you've been seeing this at all, but the NFL is now playing games in like Germany.
Yeah. London,
Scotland, London.
I think my uncle went to see the Jets in London.
Yeah.
Going.
Yeah. And they went to Rio or somewhere in Brazil. And it's like, don't bring this really aggressive, dangerous game to other parts of the world.
Well, it is weird. It's like you're flying to Rio. You know, they usually play off the Amtrak.
Yeah.
Like, they're usually right up the road.
Yeah.
You're like getting on a plane.
You can go to Columbus to see this sport.
Wait, I'm not trying to, like, yuck anyone's yum, but, like, what is the appeal of going to see your favorite team play overseas?
I mean, okay. Well, Soph went and saw Georgia Tech play.
Where?
In Scotland. Or Ireland. In Dublin.
She was just going to events on events over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that was part of the reason they went. And so I can see for your, like, college team, if you're going to go meet up with, like, some... other alums or something, or like if you're a student and you want to like go, like I see it as like an opportunity to travel and then go do something if you're like a U.S. citizen. But like,
I'm sold.
If you are a person who lives in Dublin, I'm like, do you want to go see this game? Like, I wonder if there's some novelty to it because it's like, oh, this thing we would literally never otherwise see because nobody plays it ever other than the United States.
And here's the thing, I'm going to tell you something. It's not the same because you don't have a bunch of randos from Philadelphia around you.
Yes.
Like, you don't
screaming.
Have. Yeah. You got, I think part of football is we exist in the context of all that is outside this park.
Yes.
And like, that is.
Yes.
There's not, the tailgate's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be around the people.
Yeah. And anyway, so that's been really interesting. And so I was just thinking in generally about football as like, it is this like really violent game, obviously. And it's also something that traditionally only men have played or been allowed to play. Like up until recently, there haven't been any women's leagues. And like,
there are women's leagues?
There are some now. There's a lot more flag football leagues being played. And then so there's a lot of women's like flag football. I think there's officially now, I know my high school has a women's flag football team.
Wow.
And like they had
and
all
that's
that.
Like you just pickpocket it. You just take the flag.
You just take the flag. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
which
funny.
Is much safer, obviously, than tackling each other. And so anyway, but like when I was a kid, I played football all the time when I was like young because we would play like at recess we always played and we would play like and I knew it to be like a boys sport, so I was like very drawn to it in that way because I was like, well, this is something that boys do, so I want to do the things that boys do. And so I can throw a great spiral. I learned all these things. Okay, Connor learning for the first time
what a spiral is.
It's like a tight like throw that like, you know, spirals and doesn't look all wonky.
Great.
Yeah. But I like learned all that when I was a kid because I really wanted to like be able to fit in, and I played football with the boys at school and I played football at recess.
Tackle at recess.
We would play touch. We would play two-hand touch. I don't think the teachers would let us play tackle football. I think they'd be
kind of like freeze tag.
Right, right. But then when we got to fifth grade, that's when you could play on the school team. And so kids started playing on the fifth and sixth grade team and then the seventh and eighth. And I really wanted to play. And my parents were like, absolutely fucking not. You're not playing football. Mostly, not really because I was a girl, but mostly because I was about 50 pounds. And they were like, you're just not playing football. Like, you're going to get crushed. And so I just remember feeling like that was the moment where I was like kind of siphoned off from this boys club in a real way, because like I was always allowed to continue to be a football fan, obviously. And I could like, I could still play at recess, but I wasn't on the official football team. And so, and football is such a, it's such a like intensely, there's a lot of rules to football. Like there's a lot of strategy to football. There's a lot of plays. Like it's all about like, it's like a little mini game of war. You're just trying to take more territory from the other team, right? You're trying to get your way up the field in the X number of tries that you're allowed.
That's beautiful the way you described it just there.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what is happening. You're trying to like either use run or pass to like gain territory up the field until you get to the end. And there's so much that goes on. There's like different defensive schemes and there's different offensive schemes and there's like a bazillion different plays. There's all this like theory and strategy to football because of that. And that's such an element to the boys club aspect of it that it feels like less accessible than other sports because it's not as intuitive.
Uh-huh.
And there's all these rules. And so like not actually ever getting to play official football, I never like learned like all these things. So sometimes I'll be watching with guys and they'll be like, oh, this is like a jet sweep, this or that. And I'm like, I don't know what that means.
I don't understand football, and I don't think, like, I want to respect what everyone loves, but I am kind of like, you don't have to live like this.
Yeah.
You don't have to throw each other on the ground.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be negative.
No, say
it. But it is, like, you know, in tennis, they're just hitting it back and forth, and it's so interesting.
And there's plenty of other, like, soccer is a sport that's also very physical and very aggressive. Like, they're knocking each other all over the place, and there are, like, you know, injuries. And the same thing with basketball. They're pushing each other around. It's physical, but it's, like, within limits.
Yeah, that feels crazy.
Yeah.
But I also, yeah, so I don't understand football. The rules are not intuitive. It's not a baseball, if you will, where baseball is very intuitive and clear to
understand. You throw, you hit, you run. Soccer, you're trying to kick the ball in the goal.
It's like chaos.
You know, like obviously there's more to it in all those sports as you get, but generally it's like pretty, I don't know. It's just like football just has so many complicated elements to it.
I know.
And there's a biz, like 100 people on the sidelines.
Yeah.
There's so many coaches.
But never women.
Actually, shout out Sam Schaefer, our friend. His friend from high school, Mariana, is like one of the Ravens like coaches. Like
that's
she's like
cool.
She's like an assistant defensive coach or something like that.
That's like when you pull in kind of a director who's not a comedian per se, but they have a theater background.
Right.
They gotta give you a different spin.
Yeah.
Wait, I also like you were watching the Georgia game on I think Saturday night and you were like so upset and
the dogs lost.
No, but it was really close and there was no way that you could have stopped that last touchdown.
No, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And it's like they're gonna come back next week.
No, they're gonna be
good. There's something beautiful about investing emotionally in things like that.
Well, that's the other thing I wanted to like kind of to get at with sports in general that I feel like is like getting lost in the sauce here in general. Like just sports is such an interesting thing because it's like it's a language that everybody can speak. Like soccer is one of those things that's like the entire globe plays it. It's an international language in a way,
yeah.
Like this game. And the way that anything has been corrupted by capitalism and taken from its purest form and become to this enterprise is like dangerous and difficult for all of us. And obviously sports are used to, you know, they have this like thing of sports washing that happens where basically like, you know, certain like political groups or certain like, you know, billionaires get to sort of hide behind the fact that they own these sports teams and like that's where they move their money, but like illegal things are happening. And then they're, you know, or like Saudi Arabia owns like two soccer teams right now, and it's like, you know, should that be allowed? Like, should they be allowed to just like get away
which
with
two?
Newcastle United and Manchester City, which are two massive teams. So there's like all that. There's also, of course, all these conversations about trans kids and trans women in sports and like all these things. And it's like we're bringing all this external drama into, you know, I put drama in quotes, external, like, whatever. And it's like sports should be about, like, the drama of the game today. Like, this team versus this team, it exists in a bubble.
You've said that before, that it's the last thing that happens where you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and it should be that way. Like, it's like, that's why sports are magical, is because we've created something, we've created an instance that is completely improvised.
Yeah.
And we have a vested interest in one team winning or losing, and there's like all this heart behind it. And like it should stop and end at the game. You know what I mean?
That is beautiful. There's an element of dreams, of people mm-hmm. reaching for the stars, of Rudy.
Yeah.
Of Sean Johnson.
Yeah.
Of, yes.
So it's complicated because obviously sports have this ability to like transcend and like bring political, like obviously with the Black Lives Matter movement and stuff and Colin Kaepernick, like there was all this ability to like bring these conversations to the forefront because of the number of people who watch sports. But at the same time, it also like it's added this element in general that has like taken us away from the purity of what like games and like what those like life lessons we should be learning with sports should be like about failure and teamwork and acceptance. And like, I don't know, it feels like we've gotten away from it.
We should watch Remember the Titans.
I haven't seen that in so long. Did you ever see The Longest Yard?
No.
With Adam Sandler?
What is that? Yes, I did. I owned it.
Adam Sandler goes to jail, and then he's a football player, and he like gets in trouble for like drunk driving or something. He goes to jail, and then he like they always have a football game that's like guards versus prisoners, and the guards just like beat up on them, but he like makes the prisoners win. It's actually
I feel like I have seen this.
It's a fun premise. I think it's Tracy Morgan who plays a sort of problematic trans / gay character, but was funny at the time.
No problem. No problem.
He's just like wearing like a crop top of his
every
uniform,
week we name a different person who inappropriately played a trans character in the 2000s. Rebecca Romijn was
Listen,
last week.
That is kind of the history of trans cinema to date, so
no worries at all.
Yeah,
that's funny. I'm gonna watch it. I feel like we have to wrap this thing up in 5 minutes.
Yeah, do you have any thoughts on football in general?
Yeah, here's my thought on football. I think it's beautiful that there's the idea of it's like these people like I think it's nice when everyone like want literally anything mm-hmm. like that's sweet. Like it's nice. My grandfather would always like watch whatever, like he was very invested in that. And then we'd always like play fantasy football and stuff. And like I won in 2006 and cause literally anyone can.
Yeah.
Anyone can. You can. They're actually ranked for you on the thing. You don't even need to go look it up. Yeah. They're ranked right there. Yeah. That's it.
Pick the highest one.
Pick the high. That's not, yeah. That's like really, yeah. And I think that's really nice. I think that the world is really chaotic. Like to go to an Eagles game, that's very bro-y.
Yeah.
I've never been to an Eagles game, but like I would growing up, I went to like Phillies games and I went to like Flyers games and I went to like Sixers a little, but like not a lot, like maybe once. And, yeah. But like I liked the other ones. Like I loved a baseball game, but football, there's like a chaos to it.
Was there ever any sort of inkling or thought or anything that you would ever play football?
No, never. I never
like that. Literally never once. From
I wouldn't even,
because by five you were already like
pretty out.
Pretty.
I mean, I played like soccer, but that's different.
Yeah,
and that was like in middle school, like everyone did.
Right.
And like I was bad at it.
And I think it's good that there are certain sports that like everybody. And that's one of the things that's beautiful about soccer. It's like it's something that's pretty. Like you can play a version of soccer. Anybody can. You know, it's a very simple game, and it's a very simple like premise. And
Nico, someone asked me if I wanted to play pickleball recently, and it's like, oh no. No, I can't do that. I can't do that.
We don't want to, not in the broad daylight. I can't. Not with eyes on
me. Could you see, like you see me play pool. Could you imagine mm-hmm. pickleball if there was kind of an urgency to it? Like, oh my God.
I think I'd like to see it, but I don't think I can't even fathom.
No, I was never playing football. So like football, that was bro-y.
Mm-hmm.
Like remember that? Yeah, that was like the bro-iest thing you could be.
Did kids play football like in your like recesses and stuff? Like were there?
Yes, they absolutely did growing up. I think I've said this on pod before, is that at recess, the girls would hang out, and the white girls would hang out, actually, and then all the boys would hang out, mm-hmm. and then the black girls would hang out, and I would usually hang out with the black girls, because they were nice to me.
Yeah.
And, but the boys were mixed.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, like, literally just, like, yeah, but the boys would all play that game together.
That's so interesting.
I know. I was thinking about that the other day.
And that is another thing about sports that's beautiful, is, like, it does bring people together, and, again, because it's a universal language, it's, like, you know, it supersedes culture.
Yes.
You know, in a way that like certain other activities.
That's Remember the Titans.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That's such a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, basically, yeah, I don't know. I was just like thinking a lot about it the other day when I was watching it, because I was like, I feel like this is something that like was really hard for me as a kid, was like to not be able to play like that. I like around that time of my life was when I think I was starting to understand like that my life was going to take a different turn than I sort of hoped for it, because of being in middle school and having to like sort of enter girl adolescence and figure out what that was going to mean for me. And I remember that cutoff of being like, you're not playing football, being like, oh shit, this is all sort of like coming to fruition here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that from your parents or from the school?
I don't know if the school would have let me play. I think they probably would. Honestly, and I have to give credit to my parents. My parents were always like very like down for me to like play any sport and do whatever. And they weren't really like trying to dissuade me from that, but they did not want me playing football because
two doctors were like, you're not going to go out there and get CTE.
I was so little. They were like, you will just get smushed. Like, there was no way that I was not going to get crushed by like some bigger kid, and it just like wasn't going to be good. My brother didn't even play after. Like, he played through middle school, and but took like a season off, and then he played one season in high school, and then didn't play. Like, they didn't even really want him playing. So
I think,
and he's 6 foot
two. Squish the lemon should be illegal. Do you know Squish the Lemon?
Smear the Queer.
Okay, well, I grew up in a place where they would not call that.
Well, and it was where I grew up.
The Walter Mercy Academy Playyard. We didn't know Queer.
Well, where I grew up, it was called Smear the Queer.
That's so
yeah
refreshing.
It's rough
and hot, and I feel like gay guys are gonna reinvent that.
All it means is one person is running with the football and everyone else is trying to tackle them.
This guy last night told a joke, I'm leaving now, told a joke that reminded me of this podcast. He said, I hooked up with a British guy, so the British are coming. And I was like, okay,
didn't we say that last podcast week?
And I don't want credit for it because it feels pretty unoriginal. Yeah. No offense to your joke. It's crazy I waited to the end to be rude. I love you so much.
I love you too. And
and I think there's a reason when you think about Disney Channel original movies, there's literally one about a play. Actually, it's a trilogy, but like one about a play, and then every other one is either about like Halloween.
Are you talking about High School Musical?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's either Halloween or a different sport. They're all sports.
Yeah.
Double teamed, motocrossed, Eddie's Mighty Million Dollar Cook Off, Mighty Duck, all of it. It's all constant. It's all about sports.
Yeah.
I don't want people at home to think I think that Mighty Ducks is a Disney Channel original movie.
Oh, fuck, did I mess that up?
But I feel like I don't, like, I want, it's okay.
Yes.
You're not wrong.
It's a, what is it?
A real movie. Straight to theaters. Emilio Estevez. Sure, I loved that movie.
I don't know why in my head I was, that was, maybe Disney Plus had made a series and maybe that's where I got
confused.
But
I liked the second one because the second one had the addition of a girl. And I think the third one, you got two new girls.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. And one was blonde and Swedish. And then the other one had dark hair. And I was like, there's fucking girls in this. Finally.
Finally.
Yeah. I didn't like the boys. That was a boys club.
Do you remember the Disney Channel games?
Yes. When where you got to dress Lizzie McGuire. Okay.
Wait, no. The Disney Channel games that they played against, like the stars were playing against each other.
I'm worried I outed myself as older than you. Because you're like, no, I don't remember that.
They would play like red, they were like teams like red, yellow, blue, and green, and they would play each other.
Short-lived, yes.
Yeah.
And it'd be like Demi Lovato, and now we're like, actually, they were all on coke.
Apparently, yeah, that, I'm sure they'll all uncover more about it, good lord.
There was just this thing about Sunny with a Chance, which was, I was a little after my time.
Yeah, I don't think I watched that one either.
Like, Demi was just on coke the entire time. And it's like, Disney, what is going on?
Oh my God.
Nickelodeon's scarier, worse, but then Disney, it's like still... Miley seems fine, actually.
She somehow made it through okay, but it was probably because of Dolly Parton.
She's the strongest person.
Okay, well,
bye.
Great, another episode. Wait, before we go, when this episode comes out tomorrow, Connor and I are running half-hour sets at Sleepwalk in Bushwick. It's off the Montrose L staff up here in New
Bushwick.
York.
Bushwick. That's Bushwick?
I mean, it's like Bushwick Williamsburg.
You're right.
Bushwick Williamsburg, off the Montrose L stop, if you're familiar, it's on Bushwick Ave, right?
It is on, oh, you're totally right.
It's on Bushwick Ave.
It's going to go ahead and be on Bushwick Ave.
And it's called Sleepwalk. Connor and I are both running 30-minute sets, mostly going to be loose, half hour.
Loose.
We're getting new ideas out. And
we're not calling this like, it's not like we're running, I'm not running my half hour.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. We're running a half hour. And the tickets are only $5, so come with $5 expectations and have a great time.
You're going to be fucking loose.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Bridget Foley will be hosting an opening for us, who's a really funny comic, friend of the pod. And I'm going on tour in about a month. I'll be in Austin on the 25th and 26th of October. I will be in Raleigh on the 1st and 2nd of November. I will be in D.C. on the 8th and 9th of December, of November. And I will be in Indianapolis on the 13th and 14th of December. I'm also running a show in Brooklyn at Union Hall. That will be my hour with maybe some of this new stuff we'll see on the 15th of November for New York Comedy Festival. Okay. I think that's everything. Unless anything else you want to... Oh, and we have another Boys Club show on the 24th of October.
Correct.
Great.
Correct.
But come see us tomorrow. If you're hearing this and you're in New York and you're looking for something to do, bring a date, bring a friend, meet some new people. We always have hot people at our shows, so come meet somebody new.
We do. A lot of girls are going.
Honestly, it's always girls.
A lot of the girls. A
lot of girls.
I heard multiple girls.
Similar to the Remy Wolf concert, we're walking there and I'm like, okay, we're following this train of women. Yeah. Yeah.
Train of women. Train of women off to the How to Love Like a Lesbian live show at the Bell House.
All right, and on that, I love you.
Love you, bye.
What's up, boys at home? Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Boys Club. Connor, where can they find you on Instagram?
At Connor Janda, C-O-N-O-R. Janda is panda with a J.
And you can follow me at Nico Carney, N-I-C-O-C-A-R-N-E-Y. You can follow us both at Boys Club Comedy on Instagram. And we have a live show.
Our live show is at Club Coming, typically on the last Friday of the month. And it is always the two of us and some of our favorite funny people. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, often people from the podcast. So come check those out. If you live in New York, we'd love to see you there. Bye, boys.
Bye, boys.